Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. And I wanted to share a quick story that came to mind as I was thinking about this Good Shepherd, this theme of Good Shepherd. 2 days ago, I was on the phone with an insurance agent, and they asked me what I did. And then I said those familiar words that so often change the tone of the conversation. I said, "I'm a pastor." And then there's always like, "Okay, what am I going to get?" And her response is, "Oh, that's wonderful. It must be so hard," she said. She said, "It must be so hard to be away from your flock." And it is, I said. But, you know, I get this comment from time to time about your flock. Well, I want to ask you, how do you like being referred to as a flock? The implication is, of course, you are sheep. You're sheep. This fourth Sunday of Easter is, as we've said, set aside as Good Shepherd Sunday in churches all over the world. And we think about this theme of Jesus as our Good Shepherd and us as sheep. And over again, the Bible calls God's people his sheep, his flock. And in one sense, this really is insulting. One of my Old Testament professors at Gordon-Conwell, Dr. Laniak, he lived amongst Bedouin shepherds for a year and studied them and researched them. And he put together some academic writings and some devotional writings about that. And here's what one shepherd that he interviewed said about sheep. He gave them a very unflattering assessment. He says, "Even the hardy sheep, even the hardy ones are susceptible to braxy and pulpy kidney and staggers and pneumonia and pasturella and twin lamb disease and cancer and hypothermia in winter and maggots in summer and scabs and foxes and crows and dogs. They push their heads through fences and get stuck. They climb through trees to pick foliage and they get hung up by their horns or legs. They fall down banks. They get bitten by snakes and stung by wasps. They tumble into ponds and streams. They gorge themselves on ash leaves. They starve. They freeze. They get depressed. They fall ill. But a good shepherd can counter every affliction." The Bible calls us sheep, for starters, because we are vulnerable to all sorts of afflictions. The coronavirus, smaller than a speck of dust, has forced human civilization to grind to a halt. It has ended 230,000 and rising lives. It has attacked global markets. It has stolen the safety net of billions and billions of dollars of savings. It has preyed on humanity like a wolf preys upon a sheep. And it has left many of us feeling afraid and vulnerable and uncertain and confused, even traumatized. So we're like sheep because, like it or not, we're just so vulnerable and so easily afflicted from circumstances without out there in this world. But we're also like sheep in that we're vulnerable and afflicted by circumstances within our own hearts. We're so easily diverted into dangerous, dry spiritual territory. I'm a professional Christian. I've been trying to follow Christ for over 20 years, and I still deeply relate to the words of the old hymn, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." How about you? Do you ever feel prone to wonder? Do you ever pick your head up and look around at the circumstances of your life or of your choices or of your own heart and wonder, how did I get here again? Where does this anger, still bitterness or greed or lust or sloth or whatever it is, how am I still here wandering around in this barren spiritual land? Because you're prone to wonder. You're a sheep. And in fact, God once spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, like we read this morning, about the bad shepherds that were overseeing Israel and how they were selfish and not taking care of his sheep, and the sheep were being scattered and eaten and afflicted, and they were vulnerable. And here's what he says in Ezekiel 34, verse 6. He boils down, God does, the essential problem. He says, "My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth," and here it is, "with no one to search for them and no one to seek for them." They were without a shepherd. The truth is, a sheep without a shepherd without a shepherd seeking after them and caring for them is a dead sheep. A sheep will not survive without a shepherd. And the humbling truth is that is not at all different for us. We are afflicted, deeply afflicted, without and within. And there are all kinds of vulnerable predators, spiritually and physically, that will come for us, like pandemics. And they can spiritually or actually kill us. And in the days of safer at home, my favorite hobbit, Bilbo Baggins, offers a simple reminder to Frodo, which feels truer to us now than ever before. It's dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. Because what if we catch the virus? What if we spread the virus to someone unknowingly? What if any number of 1,000 possible things happens to us? Any number of 1,000 possible afflictions comes our way? How does one move through this life so full of afflictions, without and within, without being paralyzed by fear and by anxiety, and by not become a prey for some predator? How do we do it? We need a good shepherd, because a good shepherd can counter every affliction. And so what I want to do this morning is just offer you three simple encouragements. They're all really to do with this idea of to listen. Listen. Listen to Jesus, a truly good shepherd who can counter every affliction. And the simple invitation this morning is just to take your eyes and your ears off of the news cycle, off of the evening news, off of your circumstances, and rest them upon the good shepherd of your souls. So that even in the midst of a pandemic, you might follow his voice to greener pastures and to quiet waters. So, three simple encouragements from John 10 this morning. Listen to the voice of home. Listen to the offer of eternal beauty. And listen to the one who loves you to death. First, listen to the voice of home. Where is home for you? Where is home? Many have probably heard reports from the great world wars of the last century, those who were passing. Soldiers never died asking about their physical home, about their rooms, about their dwellings. You know the stories. They passed away asking for their mothers. Why? Because when all of the chaff of life is just blown away, the stuff and the accomplishments and the jobs and whatever it is, there is this kernel of desire in every human heart, this desire for home, this desire for safety, this desire for comfort. But I want to say that this desire is not ultimately for a place, it's for a person. And whenever I think of this concept, I think of a moment that I had with Levi last year at the zoo in North Carolina. He was playing on this playground like 30 feet away from me, and he was playing quite happily. And he was trying to imitate the older kids around him. The playground was a little kind of advanced for him at the time. He was trying to imitate them, and he kind of overextended on something, and he fell down, and his wild grin just was gone in an instant. And what do you think his first instinct was? Before he ran to me, before he even began running for me, I think he asked a question in his heart. Is my dad looking for me? Is anyone seeking after me? Is anyone searching for me? Are they aware of what just happened to me? And of course, I was watching him. I saw him fall. I knew he wasn't really badly hurt, but I could also see that he was really embarrassed. And then he heard what I think he desperately longed to hear, whether he would have known it or not. He heard my voice. He heard me calling his name. Think of the power in a mother's voice or in a father's voice to call their children by name. See, with the sound of my voice calling to my son, Levi, he went from a sheep without a shepherd, from some anonymous kid on a big scary playground with no one seeking after him, to a beloved son, to a sheep with a shepherd, to someone in the care of his father, secure. And so we met eyes, and as I walked to meet him, he ran to me, and I could see he was kind of stoically holding back tears, unlike me right now. And when he got to me, he planted his tensed face in my shoulder, and he let the tears flow completely. He wasn't in his room back home, but he was safe, because home isn't a place, it's a person. I think home is this. Home is the place. Well, it's not the place. Home is where we are, where we are intimately known and intimately embraced. Wherever we are intimately known and intimately embraced, that's home for us. And take a look at how this works in John chapter 10. Jesus says in chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Notice these all-important words, just as. Jesus says, the way I know my sheep is the same way the Father and I know one another. Talk about being intimately known. Consider we only have the concept of intimacy. The very concept of it is because we were made in the image of the triune God, who is himself an intimate union of loving persons. The most intimate human connection imaginable is nothing compared to the eternal, holy, perfect union between God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. And Jesus says, as the Father and I know each other, that's how I know you. The good shepherd knows you better than you know yourself. And so John 10:3 frames it another way. He knows our names. In another account of Dr. Laniac's research, he recalls asking another seasoned shepherd about the basic requirement of being a good shepherd. What does it take to be a good shepherd? And we might think, if you were to try to answer that now, you might think skill or experience or strength or kind of knowing the land. I don't know what you would say, but something along those lines is what I would say. Well, here's what this seasoned shepherd said. He said, the essential thing about being a good shepherd is having a compassionate heart for individual sheep. The kind of shepherd that will leave the 99 to go for the one that he loves and cares about. A compassionate heart for individual sheep. And the shepherd went on to testify from personal experience that really good shepherds can know over 300 sheep by name, discerning individual sheep from the other one on moonless nights with a touch of their faces. That's a good shepherd. And so when the pandemics and the afflictions come, and your heart begins to wonder, remember, you have a good shepherd who knows your name. Because when he calls your name, and when you remember, when he calls your name and you hear him call your name, whatever your affliction is, you go from being a sheep without a shepherd to a sheep with a shepherd. You go from being an anonymous kid on a playground that's too scary and too big for you to being a beloved child in the care of your father. This means that whether you're single, or whether you're widowed, or whether you're divorced, or whether you're married, or 5 years old, or 55 years old, whether you're young or old or rich or poor, or whether you come from a broken home, or you come from a healthy home, your heart has a home in Christ, because it's a place of being deeply known and deeply loved. Not just a physical place, but a person, Christ, your shepherd, who knows you by name. And so in the famous, beautiful words of Rob, make your home in the Father's love. That's what Jesus says to do in John 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you myself, that where I am, you may be also. So listen. Listen for the voice of home calling your name, so that as you go out the door and you do face afflictions, you know that the watchful eye of the Good Shepherd remains upon you, ready for you to run to him. And let this calm your troubled heart in these troubled times. So that's first. Second, listen to the one who offers you eternal beauty. Listen to the one who offers you eternal beauty. What do I mean? In fact, the Greek word for good in good shepherd is a complex word. We use the word good so often, I think we might think of it as the good shepherd. Well, the moral or the upright shepherd, or the high-achieving shepherd, or... You know, we use, I'm feeling good, nice, I have good feelings, good could be a good grade, like a high-achieving thing. But rather, this word includes the concept, it does sort of include some of that, but it also includes the concept of something that is attractive, something that is unblemished, something that is excellent, something that is deeply, truly, unobjectionably beautiful. The beautiful shepherd. Some of you may have watched the Andrea Bocelli performance live from the Duomo a few weeks ago. And his voice was just soaring into this grand cathedral in Italy. And there was something almost transcendent about that scene and that sound, just so incredibly beautiful. This is part of the thrust, at least part of it, of what we mean when we say Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the beautiful shepherd, transcendently beautiful. And as we listen to the voice of this beautiful shepherd, we're taken up not just into the heights of the Duomo, but into the heights of where? Into the heights of eternal life. Look at verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, my sheep listen to me, they hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. So listen. Listen to the shepherd's beautiful words. One commentator on this passage records this startling scene from Israel during the Palestinian uprising in the late 1980s. He says the Israeli army decided to punish a village near Bethlehem for not paying its taxes. which the village claimed simply was financing their occupation. And the officer in command rounded up all the village animals and they placed them in a large barbed wire pen. And later that week, he was approached by a woman who was begging that her flock be released from the pen, because since her husband was dead, animals were her only livelihood. And we have to remember, you know, shepherds didn't have lines of credit at Bank of America, 401ks. Sheep were, on the one hand, kind of very dumb animals and not smart and good at getting hurt, but on the other hand, they were incredibly valuable, like us. The entire animal brought value. And so this woman wanted her sheep back from this pen. Well, the guards kind of pointed to the pen that was containing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals, and he kind of humorously quipped that it was impossible. How in the world could she find her animals? And so she asked if she could in fact separate them herself. If she could do that, would he be willing to let her take them? And he agreed. He said, fine. So the soldier opened the gate, and the woman's son took out a flute and began playing this song on a small reed flute. And he played this simple tune again and again. And as he did, various sheep's heads began popping up. And the young boy continued to play his music as they walked home. And their flock of 25 sheep followed them in line. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they will not respond to a voice that is not their shepherd's voice. My sheep know my voice, says Jesus. And friends, when we listen to his voice, to his beautiful song, where are we led? Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even in a pandemic, even in the midst of afflictions and without and within, yeah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So listen to the voice of eternal beauty, the one who sings you towards green pastures and quiet waters to eternal life. And so, friends, in the midst of the season, I know there's lots to be anxious about. I know there's things to truly lament and to grieve and to be scared about. And in one sense, it's totally appropriate. And in another sense, we have this resource, the Good Shepherd's voice. And if you're feeling in your heart just a constant, overwhelming sense of all this fear and anxiety, can I encourage you, take time every day to listen to the shepherd's voice, and he will lead you to quiet waters, and he will lead you to green pastures. Lastly, listen to the one who loves you to death. The good shepherd has quite literally loved you to death. John 10, verses 11 and 13 says this, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking, of course. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them, scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. So there are afflictions within and there are afflictions without. And man, life is full of hired hands that promise to take care of us, that promise to give us safety, that promise to lead us to quiet waters and green pastures, but run when the wolf comes. How do you know the difference between a hired hand and a good shepherd? Who doesn't run when the wolf comes? Who fights for you? Who stands in the gap between the predator and the predator's victim, us? Who doesn't just say, I love you, but who shows you they love you? Jesus didn't run when the wolf came. You see, the cross of Jesus is the good shepherd throwing himself into the mouth of the wolf so that the sheep might go free. So we're sheep. Yeah, and in one sense, that's a bit of an insulting analogy. But never forget, Christians, we are his sheep. And in a great scandal of grace, God has made us his sheep, his treasured possession. And like the woman who came for her sheep, her livelihood, our good shepherd comes to us, singing his song, calling us out of prison and out of slavery and out of enslavement into green pastures and quiet waters and into the abundance of eternal life. So that's the gospel. We are sheep. We are afflicted. We are prone to wander, but we are his sheep, his treasure. And we have a good shepherd who can counter every affliction. And he loved us, he has loved us literally more than his own life. He has loved us to death. So listen. Listen to the beautiful shepherd who is our heart's true home, who gives us eternal beauty, and who has loved us to death. And here's the difference it makes. Coronavirus, pandemic, lost jobs, lost loved ones, a world full of death, full of dying. What does the Good Shepherd have to say to that? Jonathan Evans, the son of a famous pastor, Tony Evans, was speaking at his mother Lewis's funeral several months ago. And I don't know, you may have seen this story, it kind of made its rounds on social media, but he shared about wrestling with God and about his unanswered prayer for God to heal her. And as he cried out in prayer, he also did this. He also took time to listen to the shepherd's voice. And here's what he testified to hearing from his good shepherd. He felt like God was saying to him this. And this, Jonathan, there was always only two answers to your prayers for your mother. Either she was going to be healed or she was going to be healed. Either she was going to live or she was going to live. Either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. Either she was going to be well taken care of or she was going to be well taken care of. Victory belongs to me because of what I've already done for you. The two answers to your prayers are yes and yes, because victory ultimately belongs to Jesus, and he will redeem all things. So listen. Listen to the beautiful shepherd who will shepherd you right into abundant and eternal life. We don't minimize our afflictions. We don't. We lament them. We grieve them. They're terrible for a time. But even still, sheep of Christ, remember, we're going to live or we're going to live. We will be healed or we will be healed. Either we're going to be with family or we're going to be with family. Either we're going to be taken care of or we're going to be taken care of. You see, we have this beautiful promise in our good shepherd. What a good and beautiful shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close by listening to the voice of our shepherd in the words of Psalm 23. But as we do, I want to point this out. Here's what Psalm 23 looks like when we remove the shepherd from our lives and from this psalm. Verse 1, I shall be in want. Verse 2, me. Verse 3, my soul, me. Verse 4, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear, me. Verse 5, me in the presence of my enemies, my head, my cup. Verse 6, me all the days of my life. And here's what it looks like with the good shepherd of our souls. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.